Welcome to Chai with Ping. This is Ping Robert. In this podcast, I cover immigrant stories, cross-cultural experiences, and minority issues. Join me with a cup of chai and take a listen. Let me know if you want to pause and something that you want to remove, cut out, or whatever. If there's an earthquake or tsunami, let's get safety first.
Power outage. We've had power outages here.
Right? Yeah. But this one should be okay because it's battery charged. You guys ready?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, wait. Let me turn on my screen, then I can see it. Welcome back to Chat with Ping. My name is Ping, and thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we have two special guests. It's from one of the organizations that I volunteer in, and I really like their cause. It's called Free Cafe, and also there's a coffee roastery. It's called Wagon Coffee, and then we're gonna talk about what's the cause they're supporting, and also why we need to get involved with this issue. Let's welcome Tammy and Kavita.
Hello, thanks Hello. For having us.
So on my right is Tammy. Tammy, how long have you been involved with the cafe and coffee industry?
Oh gosh, with coffee? So that goes back over 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing coffee and coffee, like whatever I have done in my professional career, whether that's been corporate coffee or other things that I've dipped my toes into with the nonprofit sector or other things, coffee's always come with me.
Yeah. And how long have you been with Free Cafe and Wagon?
So Wagon Coffee started soon after my husband and I started a nonprofit called Free Recovery Community. Mm-hmm. Officially, and there's a lot of backstory to all of it, but Wagon Coffee officially started in October of 2020.
Okay.
And the cafe, which we can dive into more details of than how that kind of was an arm of all of this too, in this beautiful ecosystem that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
But the cafe grand opened in August of 2022.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thank you. What about Kavita? What? How did you get involved with the whole community?
So I started going to Free Recovery Community in 2018 when I moved to Denver. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that Tammy was roasting coffee on the side. And I thought that she wasn't going to be able to make me a decaf that was palatable. And she did, and it rocked my socks. So I started buying decaf solely from Tammy.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of evolved, and I got involved, and we started roasting together. Mm. She had a home roaster.
Yeah.
It broke. We bought another one.
Bought another one. So I feel like that was the beginning of it. Was we were all Colorado Food Cottage Act to start with.
Okay.
And all the proceeds were going back to support Free. All of them.
Yeah.
And then as it grew and we were home roasting and then the decaf came along and Kavita came into the picture, it broke down and Kavita's like, this is not acceptable. So let me help fund another one.
So you bought a machine.
So she bought the next home roaster.
Yeah.
We wore that one to the ground, and then mm-hmm. we had to buy another one. So we went through three home roasters.
Okay.
And then at that point, we're like, all right, maybe we got to think about making this a bigger scale operation and commercializing this.
So when you're doing the home roasting process, you were selling the coffees as well?
We were selling the coffee.
Okay.
Really just to our community at that point.
Okay.
So it was all Colorado Food Cottage Act.
Okay.
All within the state of Colorado.
Got it. Okay.
Because it wasn't commercialized yet. Yeah. But we sold so much of it that I think word was getting out. People were talking about it. Again, it was all going back. The proceeds, 100%, was going back to the cause of which we were doing it for. Mm-hmm. And so people were hearing what we were doing and were like, this is, maybe we have some potential to grow this beyond the walls of Free.
Absolutely. And then the listeners might be wondering, like, what about the Free Cafe? Like, what is the cause? And I just want to mention a little bit before you guys start talking is supporting addiction recovery. And I think for a lot of us, we are like, because we've never really encountered that many people or ourselves, we have never had addiction. How did you feel driven, like, to be in this community and start that process?
So I'll speak for me and then Kavita, add whatever you want to. But yeah. My husband, he just celebrated 11 years of sobriety this month. And I'm the loved one. And so when we started Free, it was, a no-brainer to do this work together. Because I always felt like on the outside of the recovery, like, tell me about what you guys talked about at the meeting. Because I was curious about it. Made him such a better person. Recovery has changed his whole world and how he responds to his outside world. And so when he's like, let's start a recovery community together, I'm like, that's cool, I'm in, but will there be coffee? And he's like, oh, heck yeah, like everybody drinks coffee.
Yeah.
And that was like a big add-on even with Kavita, as we were talking about, okay, so coffee's involved, we have coffee. And Kavita was like the voice of, everybody drinks it because it makes you feel at home. It's like a hospitable feeling that you get when you have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That is just a welcoming piece of it.
They say that for a meeting, all you need is two drunks and a coffee pot.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Like, it's also like a conversational starter. And, you know, people usually have coffee when they talk. And they kind of feel more friendly.
Yeah. So that felt like with Ryan's, you know, experience and his passion for serving people. He's a pastor.
Yeah.
And then me bringing my coffee experience, it was just a really good opportunity to mix the two and to make something beautiful out of it.
Yeah. And you mentioned that Free Spirit Community started around 2020.
Free started in our backyard, actually.
Okay.
With 12 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2018. So it's been a little over 5 years since we started that. And it... we outgrew our backyard, of course, moved into a place in Greenwood Village.
Yeah.
We maxed out and tapped out that space. It was about 3,500 square feet.
Okay.
We had Wagon Coffee in there and 130 square feet.
Yeah.
And then when we moved into our current home, which is in Denver, then we were like, hey, we have opportunity not only to support women in recovery through Wagon, but we can make a cafe and have both men and women who can have the opportunity to give back and serve and have it all recovery centered.
Got it. Okay. And Kavita also came along throughout the process.
Yes. So I guess it was probably around 2019 or so when I got involved with the home roaster.
Mm.
And then in 2020 when we launched Wagon, and it was officially online and an LLC, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, okay, I'm committed to this cause and I'm your second person.
My right-hand lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you guys opened the cafe in 2020, so that's not a great time to open,
the
right?
The roastery opened in 2020.
Right?
Yep.
So everything was online, and...
Yeah, so we didn't really know how it would go, because it was October, and I think all that really I knew and Kavita knew was there's a bunch of women that, you know, would come in, they would show up early, they would... leave late, even Kavita, like, can I hang out with you? Can I stay so I don't go home and be by myself?
Okay.
And so we would just hang out, especially Saturday nights, like come early, leave late. So we knew there was a need there. And I feel like the statistics that we dialed into even early on was women or female alcoholics specifically are 50 to 100 times more likely to die of alcoholism than men who are alcoholics.
Okay.
And so that was really riveting to me, and that's why with Wagon we're like, let's choose women.
Yeah.
And then of course the guys later on were like, hey, what about us? We wanna come and do coffee. And we're like, well, not at Wagon, but at the cafe you can. So then as we grew and kind of got a firm foundation under us, the Free Cafe came along. So if you look at it, you know, kind of as, like I said, this ecosystem of how it all works. Wagon, even though it's like outside of Free, we operate inside the walls of Free because we do this work together, and this is like what Brian and I created.
Yeah.
But Wagon is an outside part of Free's, but it feeds into the cafe because the cafe buys coffee from Wagon.
Yeah.
the money of the coffee sold at the Free Cafe goes back to Free Recovery Community,
okay,
which is a diverse revenue stream for Free.
Yeah.
And then Wagon pays rent to Free. So it's like this ongoing cycle of kind of keeping each other afloat and providing opportunity for each other to grow.
It's also very interesting, like, you thought about the idea of generating revenue towards, you know, your nonprofit organization, because a lot of NPOs or NGOs, they're suffering from funding. Mm-hmm. But, like, for this ecosystem you just mentioned, it actually feeds back and then it can be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, Tammy, you already mentioned how you got involved with the, do you say, the addiction community?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Kavita? Like, what was your reason of joining besides the coffee?
I am sober 7 years.
Okay.
Yay!
Thank you. And so when a friend of mine mentioned that I should go to Free, it was a no-brainer because it was for addicts, loved ones of addicts, and spiritual refugees.
Mm.
And I identify with all three of those pieces.
Yeah.
So when I first got to Free, I just kind of, I felt like it was my home. It just felt comfortable.
Mm.
And then as time went on, I got more and more involved with coffee. And Wagon developed, and so now it's just kind of like the backbone of how I'm here.
Yeah.
Not just because of coffee, but because I'm also a member of the community.
Yeah.
And I have been for, you know, since the beginning.
As a general public, I mean, I also have family who is not accepting any treatment or recovery, lady, but I don't really know that much about addiction. What would you guys say to the general public or our listeners, like, what they should know about addictions and recovery?
I think that it's tempting to lump a lot of addicts together,
mm-hmm,
and say this is the way that addicts behave, this is the what addicts believe, this is what addicts do.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily true. You have to remember that these are people that we love, and it's okay to love them. These are people who behave in their own specific ways,
mm-hmm,
and although we might have characteristics that are similar, we're still humans, and we still are going to operate in human ways.
Yeah.
And so don't be afraid to love your addict.
Mm. Thank you, Kavita. Yeah. What about you, Tammy?
I like it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, as a loved one, I have a different perspective. But for me, I guess, and I think back to the days where Ryan was coming out of his addiction, and it's a we thing, which is why we're here, right?
Mm.
So we do this together. It's not you go work on your recovery or Kavita go work on your recovery.
Mm.
Like, we show up to do the work together and support,
mm-hmm,
each other together. And gosh, there are such beautiful days. Like, we say this all the time, like, there's so much joy that you see in transformation.
Mm.
Not just in, like, the people that are needing recovery, but me too.
Yeah.
Like, the loved ones need it just as much.
Mm.
So, you know, to be open and willing to do the work, to learn from each other, which Kavita and I have always said, as we grow Wagon, we want to influence more women,
mm,
and to share our stories of hope and love, and there's so much grace that,
mm,
we have for others going through it.
Yeah. When we talk about sobriety, like, a lot of success stories came about, but what would you say to those who are still struggling? Like, they, do you use the term relapse, right? Like, when those people are still struggling, or the loved one is looking at those families and they relapsed, what should we know?
I'm a survivor of relapse.
Hmm.
I 7 years ago was not the first time that I got sober. Let's see. What was the original question?
So if someone is failing or, you know, they're having challenges.
They should know that they have hope. Hmm. There is still hope. There's still an opportunity to get sober.
Yeah.
We at Free, we talk about we don't do shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes hand in hand with recovery, because there's so much shame that's inflicted upon us,
yeah,
you know, in addiction. And it is powerful to know that you can come to a place where they don't do shame.
We have it on our coffee bags, like written on the side of our bags, that we offer second chances, but we often say third and fourth and fifth chances too, depending on where you come from. But my word is I hate to say outsider, but me as a loved one, and hearing and watching some of the stories too, would say that you as a loved one cannot force your person to into recovery. Mm. Like, they have to be ready.
Yeah.
You know, I see that so many times where people come to me and, oh, Tammy, how do I get my person, like, Ryan sober? How do I get my person sober? I'm like, I didn't get him sober. Ryan got to his bottom, and he got himself sober when he was ready. So that would be, like, my best advice for the loved ones wanting to save or help their people is just love them and be there for them. We had a panel this weekend, and there is a Dr. Barnes said, enabling your loved one is actually a trauma response. And that, I was like, oh my gosh. You know, and that really hit home for me, because in whatever way, in all the ways that I enabled Ryan, I'm like, whoa, yeah, that was my own trauma response to the addiction that he was in and my coping mechanism, which was really profound to me.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that.
When you're saying that enabling is a trauma response, then how should people respond in that kind of situation?
Well, I think that it involves empathy and compassion as opposed to enmeshment.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of how do I fix this person? How do I change this person?
Yeah.
How do I get this person to do the thing that I want them to do?
Yeah.
Because I want the best for them. Well, you're not them. You have to allow them to have their own journey. And sometimes that journey doesn't look the way that you want it to.
True. Yeah.
So the response is empathy, not sympathy. To be able to watch somebody go through that, say, I'm sorry that you're going through that. What can I do to be of service in this situation without losing myself?
That's a good point. Yeah, it's like, how do we support them, but we can still stand firm on our principles?
And maybe even, like, I, for myself, and I think of how my coping mechanism through Ryan's was not getting enmeshed, but to totally shut down. So you might be listening and feel that. Like, I just went into work mode and was working 80 hours a week just to avoid the conflict at home and not knowing how to handle it.
Yeah.
So I wish I had the tools and resources to know how to talk about Ryan's alcohol use with him. But instead, I just turned it off and went to work and avoided it.
Got it. But he probably just needed a conversation or to feel related.
Yeah, to be able to talk through it and what he was dealing with. And instead of dealing with it, I just shut it down.
Yeah. I feel a lot of times that people with addictions, they also know they should be sober. They struggle. And I think what you said, Kavita, is like the empathy piece. It was very important. And I also heard that a lot of addictions is because of the trauma they have been through, maybe when they're younger. Is that true for this community?
I don't know about the rest of the community, but I suffered a lot. I'm a trauma survivor in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so, for me, my only choice was to drink.
Got it.
You know, it was the only solution that I had.
Yeah.
You know, like, I saw this meme earlier, it might have been today, that said, give me coffee for the things I can change, and give me wine for the things that I can't. And I was like, well, yeah, that works until it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it was a solution until, you know, It wasn't. And, yeah. you know, all of a sudden it became a problem now. Mm. And so, yeah, I get that. Mm. And I get that, you know, people want to drink the pain away or use the pain away. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, once it got to be too much, I had to learn how to deal with that trauma anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also heard, I took a class at the U about addictions, and it's like, it's almost like the tip of the iceberg. Like, addiction is just a behavior that we see, and then we could always talk to those people, like, you should quit drinking, you should quit smoking and using, whatever. But then when we don't look at the deeper trauma or experience they have gone through, then it's basically not very helpful mm-hmm. when we talk that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we often see that trauma and addiction goes hand in hand. Mm. But I think what I've also learned and seen is that mental health
Yeah.
and addiction also seem to go very hand in hand too. Mm. Yeah, so like I was saying, we see so much joy yeah. and celebration, but gosh darn, do we see some heartache and some trauma and some loss and relapse and lots of funerals. So there are really beautiful days, and then there are days that are
like, very hard.
Very hard.
Yeah.
Like the miracles and the trauma that walk hand in hand, and we get to be witness to those every day,
yeah.
which is really beautiful and really sad.
Mm. Before we get to promoting our social media, our website, anything else you would like to say before we end?
If you do have someone in your life and you want to help them, I think that Al-Anon and Nar-Anon are probably two of the best resources mm-hmm. that you can have for yourself and for them. It gives you the tools in order to help them to be more healthy.
Yeah.
And if you are struggling with drugs or alcohol, know that there are places for you to get help, and that we are happy to... We're on every week, free recovery community on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's live, live streamed, and it's an amazing community. Mm. It's a place of health and wholeness and happiness.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you are in the Denver area and you can make it in, there's over 30 meetings now that we host in-house.
Yeah, almost every day, and then at least two a day.
Yeah, yeah, every day. And there's a vast array of different meetings that we have. They're all online at freerecoverycommunity.com. There's events that we have. There's meetings that are hosted here. They're not by free, but they're outside meetings that come in and use our space.
Yeah.
And then, like Kavita said, Saturday nights are like our bread and butter of the whole community and hundreds of people coming together in person and like over 1,000 people online that join. So if you're like, I don't know about you people, you can watch us online first and see if you like us. And then you can come in person if you live in the area. But there's a ton of people out of state, even in different countries.
Yeah. Wow.
That we've translated for, what is it, Kavita? 30 countries and 43 languages or something like that. So the reach has been crazy since COVID. I mean, COVID changed a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes for us in a good way, because we're able to grow Wagon and do subscriptions, but with Free too, because the reach then was able to reach so many people that really needed community online. So
that's right. Yeah. Listeners, if you're looking for something to support or to know a little bit more about the Free Recovery Community, feel free to drop by, or I will put the link in the episode notes that you can take a look at their services and also groups. And yeah, what about the social media? Which one should we follow and look at?
We're pretty active on Facebook and Instagram. Mm. So it's just Wagon Coffee on Facebook, at Wagon Coffee Roasters on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to support, you can buy a bag, you can buy one, you can subscribe monthly, you can buy it in person, online. So lots of different avenues. And we do wholesale too. We just started a wholesale website where we do subscriptions for that as well. So if you're a business, small or big, every little bit makes a big difference for us.
Yeah. And also look up to Looking to Free Cafe. It's also on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tammy and Kavita, for coming to my show.
Thank you, Ping.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ping.
Thanks for listening to Chai with Ping. If you think someone will benefit from this episode, don't forget to share it with them. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. If you like my show, you can buy me some chai with small donations. Details are in the episode notes. Till next time!